So, Father, we pray that just speak to us. if you don't, it's not, you know, there's nothing worth saying. So, please, we're asking of you. In your son's name, amen. You know, I was thinking, before we segue into it, I'm just amazed at how much God loves youth. And this was a thought I had. You know what I mean? Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's possible we can fear that bad choices or, I don't know, or that the adults can ruin, we could ruin this generation for the kids. You know, sometimes I have that fear, like, well, but I'm amazed that this was a thought God gave me this week. When Numbers 13, they were all supposed to go in the promised land, but they were all a bunch of unbelievers. And then they're like, our children will die, this and that, and this and that, and they didn't go in. And God said, okay, then you can't go in the promised land. And that's a harsh thing. But this is what he said. And because you said our children will die, he said the children will go in. And it is true. He actually had them wandering for 38 and a half years in the desert until the older generation died off. And all those who were children during that time became adults, and then they went into the promised land under Joshua. Isn't that interesting? And that was just a little thing God gave me about just his love for youth. And because sometimes you can think, are they going to get swept up in this culture? Are they going to be forgotten? And I still think, I mean, every one of you sitting here who are not youth, nowadays I think, what a miracle that I even made it. You know, maybe there were mistakes, maybe whatever, but I mean, honestly, I think it has been well said that childhood is what you spend the rest of your life getting over. Like, you grow up and it's a miracle. It's a miracle because some people don't grow up. Some kids never get to grow up. There are things that challenges. There's temptations that would destroy us, and Satan hunts for that. So it's a miracle. And I would say, just as adults, not as parents and as teachers, not anything, just to celebrate the fact that God, thank him, that he loves youth, you know, and I appreciate that. So much. Okay, so that's a side note. It's not even what, but I want to go back to where we were, which we're in Revelation. And we are looking at the letters to the churches, and we're on the church of Ephesus. And I just want to read these again. I'm going to read it in a little bit of a different version to make it make sense. Sometimes the King James language. And he goes to now some would say he was writing to the pastor of the church. Some in Ephesus, he writes as follows. This is what he who holds the seven stars in his hand. And Revelations chapter 2. Okay. He who walks to and fro among the seven lampstands of gold. I know your doings and your toil and your patient suffering. And I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. But have put to the test those who say they themselves are apostles but are not, and you found them to be liars. And you endure patiently and have borne burdens for my sake and have never grown weary. Isn't that interesting? I would love that to be said about myself. Little Tasha, you endure patiently and have borne burdens for my sake and have never grown weary. He said, yet I have this against you, that you no longer love me as you did at first. Be mindful, therefore, of the height from which you have fallen. Repent at once and act as you did at first, or else I will surely come and remove your lampstand out of the place unless you repent. Yet you have this in your favor. You hate the doings of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let all who have ears give heed to what the Spirit is saying. So what we talked about last week is that love, that first love. Like, honestly, And 1 John 4:7-8, he said, you know, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and God is love. You know, there is this correlation, direct, because I have no love of my own. So when I am connected, when I'm really connected with God's love, then I will love you. You know, they're like, I can't say I have God's love. And actually, he says this. James says, you know, and many say this, that you can't say I love God and hate my brother. You know, it's like saying, you know, I love the Brown family, but I hate, you know, this person, like me. I hate Latasha. You know, it's like there's this direct core connection that we have. And it's, I know it's important for us to, with God's love. So some, in this late day and age, that this is the first church that he's writing to, it's kind of important because in the last times, it says that the love of many is going to get cold. You know, cold for us is like right now, it's like fall and spring. This is tough because yesterday was like 80 some degrees, right? And today is like 60. And then it's supposed to go to feel like 55 later on. It's kind of hard for our body to adjust. But guess what? Like right now, if it went to like 30 degrees, it would be really tough for us, right? Because our bodies, or if it went to 20, maybe think about when it was really cold in January or December. It didn't really get cold this year, but like, let's say it's like 20 degrees. If it went to 20 degrees today, we would freak out. I would freak out. It's hard. It's too fast. Once we went to Canada for a trip, and it was a 30-degree difference from here to there. Okay. So it was about 60 degrees here, and we got there, and it was 30 degrees. And honestly, I nearly lost my mind. So we're staying in the house of the pastor, good friend of ours and his wife. Actually, she's Robin's sister, Jill. And Sophie's staying there, too. And we're, by the second night, we're done. Okay, we're done. Sophie, we see that they have a fireplace. Sophie goes like, I don't know, backwards on me. We're in a suburban neighborhood, guys. She goes out looking for wood. It's 2 a.m, okay? And here's the sad part. We encouraged her. So she's on her way out the door, and the pastor happens to come downstairs. I think he heard noise. And we're just, and I'm and like, hey, look, hey. He's like, where is she? Where are you going? You know, the fire was getting a little low, and we're just going to get some wood. He goes, you're going out in the wood? Get wood? But it wasn't that, it was a gas fireplace. So it's like, okay, there are a lot of things wrong with it. Okay, it was gas, and you're going to put wood on it. So the whole thing was so crazy. And
you encouraged that.
I encouraged it because I was freezing. And then he's trying to say, what's wrong with you guys? And I'm wearing everything I brought. And then I'm like, it's cold. Because isn't that cold? Because to them it's not. They get to like negative 30. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's really cold for us. I'm like, it goes, I'm like, you don't understand. There's a 30 degree difference between where we just came from. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, it is. We literally had to pull it up on the thing to show him. And then still he could barely understand it. I'll never forget that. I just froze my butt off that night. And it made me, this is what I'm thinking about. The Bible says the love of many will grow cold. Typical, thank you God for four seasons. We don't go from summer to winter. We have a couple, like, our body actually adjusts. I'm always amazed when it's like 40 degrees or 50 degrees even in fall, and then I'm freezing. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'll never make it in winter. But when it gets to December or January, and then it's like 10 degrees, I'm fascinated. And then we have a good day. It's 35 degrees out. And we're like, oh my gosh, did you guys see the weather? I was like, it was amazing. It was 35 degrees and sunny. Whereas, and I always like to think about, like, 2 months ago, I would have killed anyone to tell me that this is great. Because I froze. But that's really how love works. when it begins, it grows cold. It's gradual. By the time our December and January come, sometimes even in a friendship or a relationship, it gets to that point, and we don't know how we got there. But we're there. We're there. And that's an interesting, and he said, the love of many, the things, the people I loved, the people I loved. And honestly, and you could bring it, ever have a person say to you, or you've had to say to a person, like, hey, listen, remember, do you remember? Oh, you used to love them. Well, not anymore. Are you? But you loved that. And it grew cold. Well, that was before this and this. No, it's just like that was before, I could say that was before the seasons changed. It grows. Sometimes it grows cold because it's neglected. And it just, love just grows cold because there's just no attention paid to it. In this day and age that we live in, love, there is a effort in love to maintain it. It's not fleshly effort. It's not like I'm in my flesh and I'm going to like make this happen. I'm just saying I have to, do you know how the Christian maintains love? The number one way he maintains love? Forgiveness. Because what happens is neglect happens. Little things bother me. But forgiveness, I would have to say, is one of the key ways. It helps keep it alive. The second way is remembrance. You know, I mean, honestly, with you, the one thing that in the military, I'm a war buff. I appreciate a lot. World War II, they were writing letters back and forth to home. And you would see these, you would hear of these, I wasn't alive during the time, but the one thing that they always depict is that these GIs, as they were called, they will always have these letters or pictures of their wives or their girlfriends, and constantly they were thinking about them. So it was very fresh in their mind, and vice versa it should have been. Unfortunately, sometimes it wasn't. And when it wasn't, it was awful. They would get these, what we call Dear John letters. And they would be fighting. Here they are fighting for their country, and some woman couldn't keep faithful. Mm-hmm. And she sends this letter and says, hey, I found somebody else. But to him, he remembers saying goodbye to her. He remembers the dress she wore. He remembers the last thing they did together. He remembers, it's fresh to him. Things stay fresh because I remember them. I choose to remember, you know? And I forget who it was, but I was told this once and I looked it up, and it could have been, I might have been Florence Nightingale, somebody like that. But she was bad-mouthed. She was somebody like that, meaning a lot of people slandered her. And one day she saw the group who slandered her, and somebody said, that's them. Remember when they said to them? And she turned and said, I distinctly remember choosing to forget that. That's maturity. I distinctly remember choosing to forget what these people did to me. That's on purpose. Love is, man, it's like, it's meat. But it's easy. It's like, easy, like a lost coin to lose by just length of days. Things I go through. I mean, there's so many things that kind of get in the way, and that freshness. And that's why, you know, they say, you know, marriage is great, but really, marriage is really about the love, the living, meaning like living together. It's not about just the hey, we just got married. It's about that commitment, that's effort. But I would have to say, and never before have I seen while I've been living the amount of effort friendship has taken. It used to be, back in my day, you had plenty of what we call girlfriends. You know, everyone's had girlfriends. Now you say that word, it means something different. But I grew up that. Do you know how many aunts I had, not related? Aunt this, aunt that, aunt this, aunt that. I mean, you just had, so my mom had tons of girlfriends. And then she had people she was close with. And, you know, and I grew up with that understanding. Oh, we're besties and we're all of that. And friendship was something that was easy. And it was something that was for real. And they grew up and you would grow up in your family and they'd have their family. But there was a connection. But now there's a lot of backbiting. There is just even social media as a forum to rip somebody apart. It's fascinating to me. But you're destroying the best thing of life. Love is the best of life. To love and to be loved. You watch it on TV. What woman doesn't like a good chick flick? And there is love involved in it. But there's also, even David knew the highest love, he didn't call it a woman's love. He said his love that he had for his friend Jonathan was greater, surpassed the love of a woman. Friendship, that's precious. It's like, it's great. It's something, you know, that you drink in. And each year, it's the best wine. I don't need to drink. I've had the wine of friendship. I love saying, oh yeah, we've been friends 10 years. Oh yeah, we knew each other. Oh, remember? We've known each other. That's a love that's incredibly deep. But it's like important that I would not let it wax cold. And here, God is saying, listen, you hate this, you don't bear this. But my question is, where is that first love? The thing that makes you smile. I love to see when somebody gets saved, they have that. They're just in love. You know, there's something about that. It's there. Love takes effort. It does. Here's one of those things, like I can give you 15,000 examples tonight, and pretty much you would all relate to all of them. Because it's the one thing that connects us. It's the thing that hurts us. It's this misuse, mistakenly, you know, with our dealings with each other. I have to tell you that we cannot personally afford to lose love. It's not worth losing. It's not worth, like, neglecting. I've seen people, like, try, you know, we've seen it. All, when I say I've, we've all seen, like, try to have a friendship without love. How long does that last? Try to have a marriage without love. Honestly, these things, be a part of a family without love. We weren't meant to. We were not meant to. So that's why, like, the number one thing there must be is a lot of forgiveness. Isn't that interesting that I said that's the first thing I say is the thing you need for love is what to do with somebody else's failure. Like, you would say, oh no, what you need in love is you need appreciation. You need, like, you know, we could think of compliment. We need, the list is, it would be beautiful. You know, we need to get to know. No, the first thing you're going to need is forgiveness. If you nail that, you'll have that, then you'll have those friendships. Forgiveness, we need that first because we're fallen. God loved a man and then we fell. And then we screwed it up. And he still loved us. The second thing we absolutely need is the remembrance, because it needs to remember that not, here's the thing, I want to qualify remembrance. It's not necessarily the remembrance of, oh, we've known each other and this is amazing, whatever. You know what it's a simple remembrance. I distinctly remember choosing to love you. I remember that I love you. Love is remembering to love. I remember that I chose to love. Divorce is, I forgot. I forgot. You know? You can say, well, that's what I'm saying. It can slip. It becomes like December weather. I don't know how we got here, but we're here. And it's cold. And it may be that if a relationship is like that, a friendship is like that, a family is like that, we may have to warm it up like spring. It might not be, and tomorrow it'll be 80 degrees. Woohoo! We've got the friendship and we've got the family back, we got the marriage back, we got whatever. It may not be. It may have to, like, degrees of warmth. God, warm my heart. God, help me. That's where it begins. That's the first love. God, remind me why I even love it all. Love does not begin if it's gotten cold. Love does not begin with a discussion of how to make my love work. It begins with my understanding that love begins with Him. You know, it begins very simply with that. It's not that we loved Him. I mean, it's not that we loved Him. It's that He first loved us. That's it. That's how it begins. That's the only thing that ever caught my attention. It's the only thing that actually works. It's John 3:16. It's that simple. And then it's 1 John 3:16. This is how we perceive the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. This is how we understand the love of God. First, because He laid down His life for me. Then I ought to lay my life down for you. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion, how dwells the love of God in him? It's like, how is it if I shut my need up? I mean, if I shut up, my bowels, meaning if I'm not compassionate. This is interesting. And there was one other. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. First love. Isn't that interesting? I've often heard first love being God's love to me. But it's interesting. He said, this is the message in 1 John 3:11 that you have heard from the beginning. From the beginning, that we should love one another. And I don't know how to, like, you know, it's sometimes you just want to, like, God say, please fix this, or wrap my arm around this person. It's like, and wish I could just go back in time. Can we do this over again? I do love the seasons in the sense that you get a chance at it again. I don't want it to be that we get toward the end. And God is going back to this church in Ephesus. He said, you had Paul with you day and night for 3 years. He said, you saw the manner of life that Paul lived. But he's saying, listen, something you missed. You're in December. Something you missed. But you should be in June. you've lost your first love. You forgot the message from the beginning that we should love one another. And honestly, it all the time, it's like it comes up in our faces. And sometimes it's easy to like think about something else. It's easy to like say, forget. But I am saying tonight, if I could say it to the atmosphere in York, if I could say it to the atmosphere in this room, in our church, in our lives, I would say this in our school, like, let's not live there. Let's remember and let's forget. Let's remember and let's forget. And then we'll understand the love of God. It's not really a difficult message. It's not, I'm not trying to get like into some deep theology of love. I'm just trying to talk about life. Like, can I say, okay, now let's take a few moments and talk about what love is not. Love is not, no, I love her, but I'm just saying that, okay, this is not love. It doesn't even fit in the category. I have nothing against this person. It doesn't really matter whether you have something against this person or not. My point is that it's not love. There's no in between for the Christian. We're commanded to love one another. So there's no, that God didn't say, oh, okay, that's fine. Oh, you don't have anything against them. Okay, that's fine. No, it's like I'm commanded to love. Sometimes we have, second one, sometimes we have people in categories of love. You ever do this? Take this person that's here, put them over here, and now I love them. But if they're over here, I don't love them so much. Now I have strong opinions about, but honestly, if this person had been over here, then I would love them. Maybe even in my family. I don't love them because him or her because they act like this. But what if they were actually my brother? What if I'm tight with people in my family and they still acted like that? Would I love them? Well, of course I would. Do you see? It's like so we have the categories of love. If you fit in my category, then you get my pity. You get my attention. You get my love. But if you don't, sucks for you. We all have things or ways in which we do it. It isn't like I'm not sitting here in any way saying that I have nailed it. Not what I am saying is let's expose Satan for who he is by lifting him up and exposing and saying, hey, you're actually not supposed to be in my house. You rat. Because all you want to do is separate me. A whisperer separates friends. All you want to do is separate me from people. Do I remember that I loved them? Did I forget to forgive them? I just want to say that, you know, I mean, I think it's important to say, let brotherly or sisterly love continue. Not at the expense of truth. I think there, you know, I mean, the Bible talks about Christ didn't water down the truth, but he spoke, you know, but he spoke the truth, but he spoke it in love. And truth was fine. I can love you. And actually, and the last thing I want to say, that's just it's a condition of the heart. It's not words. You know, it's not just the words, it's a condition of the heart. I want it to be that when God looks at my life, that he knows that that love is an important thing. And that he knows that it's important to me. sometimes I wonder if we would have maybe better lives if we actually loved more. Happiness, unhappiness generally is a lonely thing. The more you love and give, for some reason you tend to get it increases. You know, your happiness increases, your world increases, people around you increase. It's an amazing thing. So, let's open this up for a second. Let's talk about this. What are some hindrances to love? To the love of others?
You're selfish.
Selfish? Selfishness. Yeah, I wanted it. I was with a certain person and we were kind of handing out some goodies. And the person, as we're handing out, says, "I want that." Well, I mean, that's kind of hindering the love going on. We're giving out love vibes here. But I want that. You know, there's that, and it's easy to see in a child, a small child, right? We're like, no, 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 no. This is for others. But when we get older, we don't have that. Now we won't come out and say, no, 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 no. But we're thinking, you know, it's not going to happen. Nor do we say it that way. But we tend to be selfish. We're not thinking about others. Others don't matter. If, you know, the world could go to hell in a handbasket, I don't care if another person really comes to Christ or comes around. And we can say it by this way, selfishness. Me first, others second. You know? I mean, that's good what you guys do what you do, but just make sure that we get what we want, what we need. We have all the terminology. Would you guys agree selfishness can get in the way? It's funny too, because love in one sense, like, you get so much more than you lose in love. You know? But it is funny how it gets in the way, you know? But love is incredible. So what are other hindrances? How about anger? I've lived in a few places, and I can tell you, this is every place has maybe what we call demons that specifically, like, motivate a particular, you know, thing. Anger seems to be Pennsylvania.
Mm.
People get angry, and they have stuff I've just never grown up with. The things that they're willing to say to each other, and the things and expression that they're willing to give each other, kind of like that's social. My social ethics it completely like catches me by off guard, because you just don't see that. You don't see people ever doing that. But so Pennsylvania has it. So because if it is here, I have to watch out for that. I have to, like, say to myself, I have to watch out. I have to, like, concentrate on not, you know, on that. Like, I have to ask myself, there's a great verse where God asks Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry?" And if there's a righteous anger, then so be it. But, you know, but the question is asked of me, doest thou well to be angry? Or is this possibly miscommunication? Or is this possibly a misunderstanding? Or did that person intentionally do that? You know what I mean? Are they coming after me? Because sometimes anger is based upon the fact that I believe that something was intentionally done to come after me, to hurt me. Little children, how about this? "You meant to hurt me." You ever hear little children say that? And you almost want to laugh? Because you're like, of course he didn't. No, 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 no. He didn't do that. But no, he meant to hurt me. And you're like, no, 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 no. He did not. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like, no, 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 no. You love your brother, right? Any other kid thinking about it? Like, you know, you're trying to teach him whatever. So, any other thoughts, comments, like any other hindrances to love?
It's funny that you just say that, because I think of how when you say the evilness in Pennsylvania, because there's people that are not from here in York, and they're like, you can't even look at somebody without them thinking that you got beef with them. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? But I see it. Because this is where I grew up. This is where I'm from. But when I would go somewhere else, just on the outskirts of Philly.
Yeah.
And everybody was so nice. And it was creepy to me. Because I'm like, I'm not used to this. It's just really different. I'm not, because I come back here and everybody's just, you know, it's not like that, but...
The other side of it, I want to tell you this, is that it's funny because you say this, because where, you know, where I've been living, it's like, we thought we hit the jackpot of kindness here.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Like, even recently, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, no, no problem. You know, like, when I took some of the kids to see Dumbo, and they were like, oh, and they gave us free popcorn and soda. Like, that's never going to happen where I was at. Like, just different things. There were acts of kindness that people have. So it's interesting how each place is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But the negative is the negative side of that also can be because anger can destroy a friendship in 2 seconds. It can destroy a relationship. You know, if I'm saying, because sometimes this is one of the reasons why. Because in anger, I can say things that, serious things that I will regret later. Huh? Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So that's a big thing. I mean, what do you guys have? Any other thoughts on this topic of love? Or are we just going to, no biggie, we'll just go on with our lives without it. You know, Do you see what I'm talking about? Like how it seems to be growing old. I mean, going old, so to speak. Love is kind of disappearing. Like it's, you know, as if you could get along without it. You know, I think a lot of these relationships are these. Like, I mean, that's why I think we have an increase of sex and a decrease of love. So there's increase of, you know, many partners, many this, many that, increase of that. And, you know, but trying not to tie sex with love. Back in the day, sex was to say, use the word sex is really to say to make love. You know, it had a very connected version to it. Now it's completely like divorced from that. You know, and I'm amazed before you could say, oh, well, you know, I thought you guys were together. I thought you loved him. No, not anymore. You know, or they'll say that we've moved on. Okay. Like there's a transient nature about this. So Satan is feeding it and then sex in itself, becomes selfish. It's more just about a quick whatever. For how I feel, and that feeds Niasa's comment about selfishness. So it's not an expression of love any longer. It's just an expression of pleasure.
Yeah, it's just sex.
Yeah.
It's just sex. I know plenty of people like that.
So. Yeah, it means it's just what it is. And they'll just, yeah, on that level. So these things that God gave us and intended for us to use in love, because of love, are like they've disappeared. But love is great. When you have love between you, there's such peace. Like I don't have to perform.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's such like, you know, I don't have to be the monkey in the cage for you. There's nothing here. You know what I mean? I can be me and that's what I'm loved for. That's why we love that word unconditional. You know, I'm not trying to be something to make you love me. You choose to love me just because you choose to love me. That word unconditional is like it's everything. What are other thoughts about it?
I think people confuse love with material stuff, material possessions.
That's good.
That's a big issue right now.
Well, there you go. Like, you love me if I if you give me something.
Yeah. Like, they'll love you as long as you have the house and you have the cars and you have the clothes and the money. Once all that's gone.
There you go. I'm loved if I have something that you can get. And then once it's gone. How about this? I'm loved as long as I agree with you. That's big. You know? And actually, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? Blessed are the wounds of a friend because the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know what I mean? Oh, I tell you the truth and I'm not your friend anymore. You know, how is that love, really? It's just like, we have what we call a mutual admiration society. I tell you great things about yourself, then I wait for your turn. I'm not even listening to you, really. I'm waiting for you to tell me great things about myself. It is, all men will appreciate you if you do well for yourself. But they're just kind of there's no love there. But mutual admiration society says that we love each other, but really we just admire each other, but we really admire ourselves, but we're using each other as the outside voice to appreciate me. These are the things that are like, yeah, these are out there. And honestly, that's why I stay off social media. Facebook is really that. It's about love me. It's about love me. Look at me. But you know what? Honestly, I don't need Facebook to love you. You know? But we were in a restaurant and then I was mesmerized by it in 2020 because they were talking, and then I read just recently a USA article, there's a direct correlation between social media and loneliness. Increase in loneliness. We're on social media, but we're increasing in loneliness. Which is also why there's increased suicide. It's all relating to each other. Social media, you would think that, hey, if you're, I don't know how the whole thing works, I don't want to know. But I, by definition, social, I'm assuming that you're supposed to be making connections. But in fact, it's, you know, it's de-connecting, if you will. Bless you. I know. I thought, wow, this is really reaching her. It's unconnecting us. Okay, social media. We're more and more lonely. You know, and it's a big deal. There's not necessarily love that's there. You know, it's just I get to talk to you. I say it, but it's not really there. And honestly, if we don't talk about this, unfortunately, it's going to be like December. It's just going to just continue to slowly come upon us. And we won't remember when we as a society loved each other back in the day. People were offended. Back in the day, when I was a child, the whole neighborhood helped raise us. Now, if you look at one other person's child sideways, they jump all over you. You know, my kid said this and this and this and this and this. Back in the day, me being the kid would never have gotten away because there was appreciation among the parents with each other. Thank you for catching my daughter. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. And I saw that. It was neighborhood love. It was just an appreciation. Now it's like, yes, exactly. You're afraid to even whatever. But this is what's going on in society. But we don't have to buy into it. I can actually be like Christ and surround myself with love. But one of the ways that I do that is by giving. Giving is a great catalyst to increase my love. Honestly, it is. It kind of like, and in doing so, it keeps me like, it keeps the love in my life. I stopped giving It's dangerous. Then I just have me to think about. I'm pleasing me. Giving is a catalyst for love. It isn't always. Don't get me wrong. There are people who give and they don't love. But my gosh, it helps. It really helps. There's just nothing like it. You smile and you love. You love that it blesses that person. Or just, not even a thing, but my time. My time, my things maybe, my attention. Like children, they're very simple, small children. They know you love them because you give them attention. It's not about the things you give them. It's about the attention that they're given. Do what they say matter to you? So these are this is one way that I can help increase my love, is to increase my giving. That's it. So what else? Anybody? Anything else on love? I don't want the conversation to die, per se, because it's not like it's what our society is already trying to kill the conversation. Sometimes I think we feel justified. We're afraid to say that if we love, then we lose, our argument. Meaning like, if we love, then our point is not made. No, we can love and still make our point. But love, part of love is also faithfulness. Like, I just say that I'm going to love you 5 years from now. I'm going to love you 10 years from now. Like, it's to say that I'm not going anywhere with my appreciation of you. That's part of the unconditional nature of love. It's that I'm not going anywhere it suffers long. So, the one thing I love about what we're talking about is that this is what God already is to us. So even if I were to condemn myself, I would say, okay, you know what, God, that you are going to change me into this. But I want that to be. I want it to be where, I was so blessed at the wedding. There's certain things that stick with each one of us, but at this wedding we just had, I forget who it was, I didn't know the person at all. But on their way out, they came up to me. And they just said to me, they said, thank you. And I was like, because I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And they said, you wear the love of God on your face. And it's easy to see how much you love everyone here. And that was great because I was one of the people who don't go to our church. And that's what you want. That was the highest thing that could have been said to me. Because I wanted them to see. I wanted every person there to know that we love. That's that simple. That's so hard to get across to people. Because they think you have some type of... That's the other thing. Maybe people think you have an agenda. Right? They think you've got something going on. And I think we talked about this last week. One of the reasons why I really had in my mind a long time ago... Just so you know, this is not the first... We're teaching the school, but I have had a vision of school of if I were ever to be in administration of a school for a long time. And I always knew this, we couldn't be paid. I always knew it. Because I knew God could take care of us. Because then I would always know, be able to say, I love you. And I'm doing this because of love. And you can dig as much. And we've had people around here dig. We've had people come up to us like, something must be, something must be behind that. And we're gonna figure that out. I'm like, come right ahead. My home is open, as everyone knows. My house is open. My life is open. I am what I, you can hate me, love me, whatever you say, but you can't change my love. You can't change it. You can't alter it. And sometimes you have to do something dramatic.